Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Truth Is.
Hi, guys.
Thanks.
Welcome.
Thanks for tuning in today. Today's topic will be about sexual abuse, the new face it presents. You know, our parents or, you know, family members used to warn you about the stranger in the bushes or, you know, a stranger walking up offering you candy, but now the predator is in your house. It's a family member. It could be your father, your cousin, your mother's boyfriend. You know, it has a different face now.
Right, which is really scary.
Right, really so scary. We kind of wanted to, you know, talk about these things and put it out there in the open, give you some information on statistics and then preventative measures that you could take to help protect your children and then help your children be able to protect themselves when you're not, you know, always at home.
Right. Safety tips. Safety is the most important for our children.
So I wanted to start off saying that as a young girl, I experienced sexual abuse by my brother's father. It was my mom's boyfriend. She intended on marrying this guy, and at the time, I was really too young to know what he was doing to me was sex. So, I mean, I didn't know if it was wrong or inappropriate. I just know something that was happening to me. It did make me feel uncomfortable. Sometimes I felt like I was suffocating. I could barely breathe. But I couldn't tell my mom because I didn't know what to tell her. I didn't know what was being done to me was wrong or that I should tell someone. So in this particular situation, I didn't even have to tell my mom. She came home one day and she caught him on top of me. So I don't really remember everything that happened after she walked in on him. I kind of went blank, but according to my mom, she said she attacked him and, you know, she called the cops. And I've heard other family members tell me that he beat my mom up really bad trying to, you know, defend himself from her or whatever. He broke a few of her ribs and, you know, she was hospitalized because of this. But, I mean, my mom was a person who worked outside of the home, so I was left at home with this guy a lot. And, of course, she trusted him. She loved him. Yeah. You know, I called this guy my father, and he would have been my stepfather if she would have married him. So this is just a perfect example of how, you know, he wasn't a stranger. He was someone that was familiar to me, someone that I saw, someone that I thought that I could trust that would protect me. And instead, he was, you know, the predator toward
abusive.
Me.
Absolutely.
Exactly. So
Charity Story is one example that may be familiar to many people within families, but actual intercourse is not the only form of sexual abuse. Sexual abuse could be non-touching things, too. We all know if someone touches a child in their genital or private area, that is considered abuse. That's molestation. If they make the child touch them, that's also considered abuse. But some non-touching activities, such as showing children pornography, that is abuse, or deliberately exposing themselves to that child, or encouraging the child to watch them have sex or even allowing them to watch them have sex, that is sexual abuse. And also watching children get undressed in a bathroom or while they're in the shower, those things are also considered abuse. So those are some of the parameters. It's not just someone actually engaging in intercourse or touching someone for it to be actual sexual abuse.
Also, statistics tells us that one in every third person you see in female is being molested, and I would guess that that would be the people who are actually coming forward. I mean, these numbers could definitely go up drastically for those who don't come forward and never tell their story, and that's the main point of this show is we want to, you know, touch bases on a topic that is taboo in our community. No one ever wants to come forward. Everybody wants to keep this situation a secret or turn a blind eye when, you know, that's not going to help the problem. That's not going to heal the problem if we keep ignoring it. The best thing for us to do to help our community heal is to allow, not only just to allow our children to be able to talk to us, but to believe them when they say it, you know, what's happening to them. I mean, I know the initial, when your child comes to you, you're going to initially be in shock because I would if it happened to my child. But, I mean, you should believe your child. You should have it. Go ahead.
Some of the emotions that are associated with that first reporting, because as a therapist, I've been in the room where somebody reports to their parent, you know, with my support that this has happened. So, of course, you have, you know, like Charity said, you're shocked. You're enraged. You're confused, denial, and disbelief. And most parents have a feeling of guilt or caregiver. Of course, you're going to feel guilty that something has happened and you were not able to protect your child or this person that she's been put in care of. So those are really normal. And, the, you know, one of the hard things about this with kids reporting is that it is somebody in the family. It is somebody that they know you as a parent know and love. It is somebody that they know, you know, is going to be repercussions within the family. So that's sometimes it's so hard. You know, people wait. It's not normal. I mean, it's not abnormal for people to wait 5 and 10 years and 20 years to disclose these secrets because they know their disclosure is going to impact the family. And a teenager, you know, is less like they're going to be more cognizant of that impact on the family than a younger kid may just be afraid because they don't know, like Charity said, they don't even know what's happening to them to put into words. So all these things are normal. You know, when sexual abuse is disclosed.
And also, too, a sexual predator, they are kind of strategic in the things that they do. You know, they kind of know what children they can mess with and what kids that they can't mess with. You know, they usually try to go in on a child who's, like, isolated themselves and off to themselves a lot, because I used to be off, you know, to myself a lot. So they kind of take advantage of the quiet ones that don't speak that much or speak out loud, you know, out loud. So always make your child comfortable and let them know no matter what, because, you know, they'll usually try to make it seem like they're not doing it by showing affection to you in front of your parents. So then the child would think that it's okay. Sometimes they would even think that you may know what's going on and you're okay with it when you're really not. They may, like, you know, touch the child's hair while the parent is just like, oh, your hair is pretty, or give them a hug. You know, they're real slick and sneaky about what they do.
Oh, wow.
So always let your child, or talk to your child, let them know that it's not okay for a person just to be touching you for no reason.
And then another part of that, what Charity's saying, this process is called grooming, where a perpetrator begins to build a relationship with their victim. So it may take them years to actually do something inappropriate. It may just start off as, you know, these are the things we got to pay attention to as parents, too. If somebody starts to take interest in your child that's not their parent, that's maybe a distant cousin or relative or a friend or a partner of a family member, that's a red flag automatically. And I'm not saying that that person is good or bad, but there's still something for you to be paying attention to. So, you know, every time they come over, they start to bring this kid candy. Or, you know, oh, I got an extra movie ticket for this person. So you have to start paying attention. And that doesn't mean they won't include other kids, but sometimes they hone in on a kid and they do a little bit more. That's called the grooming process, because they want to build this relationship and create this comfortability where this kid will trust me. So let's pay attention to that. It's so tough when it's in the family because it could be anybody. And the other part is a lot of kids are victims themselves, and then they re-victimize and they become adults. So this may have happened to them. Or one more thing, you may, as a parent, have been also a victim. So that doubles the intensity of the reporting of your kid that somebody touched them, because then all those issues and emotions that are associated with your own abuse becomes, you know, magnified, and things that you may not have even dealt with. So abuse is just so sensitive inside of itself, and then let alone for it to be within a family, it just kind of magnifies, you know, the issue.
Definitely, and I wanted to kind of reiterate on the ignoring the signs. You know, a lot of women, not just men that are predators. There are women also, but we want you to pay attention. You should know your child, whether you're working in the house or not. You know, watch your child's attitude, their body language, how they work. Because once you have a child that's happy and, you know, go-lucky, and then all of a sudden, you know, they start acting different or developing different or, you know, having nightmares, you have to pay attention. And then you have to be always on guard. You know, if somebody don't have children and all of a sudden he want to marry a lady that got 4, 5, 6 kids, not saying that all men are like this, but, you know, normally a single person is not going to want to be in a relationship with somebody who has a whole lot of children and they don't even have any children. So you have to pay attention to different things because they seek out women who are vulnerable. They seek out women who need help, who, you know, if she's a single parent and she has a lot of children and she's home, away from the home a lot, he might try to come over when you're not there. The best thing for you to do is to sit down with your children and let them know when you are dating someone, what's not appropriate. Don't let him in when they're home alone. If he comes by, make his butt sit outside until she gets off work, or tell him to come back later. And then if you can't, you know, dodge not allowing a man to come in your home, because you got some women out there, you know, they just got to have a man, want to have a man in their house. If you ain't allowing a man to stay with you or you shacking up, you need to have a family meeting and let all the rules out. Let your children know. It won't be any coming in your room at night. No private conversations when you're not present. You know, you can set boundaries and rules to your house to make sure you prevent these type of things. Let them know he should not be touching you in no kind of way or saying anything sexual or even making any sexual joke. Because he would try to see what he...
Go ahead, sir.
He will try to see what he can get away with by saying little sly jokes, you know, to see if you laugh at it. You're a kid. You're not really, you know, paying any attention. You laughing because you think it's funny. But, you know, they try to, you know, use any avenue they can to sneak in and get you comfortable with them.
And I think another thing, to piggyback on what Charity just mentioned, is as far as things to look for children that are younger, pay attention to, like, Charity said, nightmares and issues within sleep and bedwetting. If they are regressing back to bedwetting and they've been trained, let's say they're 6 or 7 and they start bedwetting, or 8 or 9 and start bedwetting, or even if they're having, which the technical term is uresis or encapresis, which means they are actually defecating on themselves, those are all red flags for sexual abuse. Not to say they may not be other things, because kids do have issues with holding their bowels. I mean, if they've never had any problems like that and all of a sudden this is going on, this is one red flag. And then with adolescents, any change in their behavior. Like Charity said, we know adolescence is a tough time as it is, but when they start being very different from what you know them to be, locking the doors when they go into the bathroom now, maybe walking around, they used to be comfortable wearing a towel from their room to the bedroom, but now they're fully dressed. Wearing multiple layers, some people wear multiple layers to protect themselves. Or some people stop taking baths. If their hygiene habits change, sometimes girls just stop cleaning themselves and hope that would keep the perpetrator away, you know, them not being fresh or smelling, you know, appropriately. So changes in behavior, wardrobe, sleeping habits, any kind of change in their hygiene, you need to pay attention to, and those are definitely red flags. I had a young girl who started wearing layers on layers of clothes, or she started her menstrual cycle, and she wanted to ignore it because she was molested by a woman, and she just didn't want to have anything to do with being a girl or being a woman. So it's some red flags that we just sometimes ignore.
And another thing, too, when a child comes to you and tell you this has happened to them, don't keep asking them over and over and over again. This makes them think that you don't believe them, you don't trust them. It's almost like an interrogation. They come into you because they feel like they can trust you with this information. I mean, I would suggest you to try to calm down, because, I mean, if somebody came to me, I already know I'd probably just fall all off the handle, but I'm going to have to, you know, gain control of my emotions to let my daughter know that, you know, I don't think that it was her fault. You know, a lot of children are when they come forward, they're made to feel ashamed, or
yes.
you know, they keep getting all these questions about, well, are you sure, or what did you do, as if they did something to seduce the person to
mm-hmm.
do this to them inappropriate, or if they had, as if they had any type of participation
power.
In what has happened
yeah.
to them,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, even
and
if
that's
a
natural
child
too,
is just,
Charity. That's natural to question, and I think that's what I think. I want people to know that it's natural, but also don't let your understandable feelings and your confusion override the fact that the perpetrator is always at fault. A child is not at fault for someone taking advantage of them. So it's okay to question all those things, but keep it in your mind and consult with people in your family. Don't re-victimize your child by not believing them. You know, you can investigate later. You know, believe your child.
Definitely.
Remove them from that unsafe place. Don't still have that man living in the room. If you have to send your child to somebody's house, a grandma, do not put them in that unsafe space. Because it's not fair, and they could be re-victimized. And what's the message that you're sending them, that you don't believe them, or it's okay for the abuse to continue? Even though you're not saying that, that's what you're saying by keeping that perpetrator, having them to have access to that child.
Definitely. I think the point that I was trying to make is the way that you were, you know, the child would be questioning, you know.
Right.
It's not an interrogation, you know. Let the child know that you're just trying to get to the truth to see, you know, how this situation came about. You don't have to just keep, you know, drilling them, making them feel like they're in an interrogation as if they're going to get arrested by the cops. You know, you need to make them feel like it's not that their fault, you know, you're sorry that this happened to them, and let them get what they have to say out. Because
call 911. That's a step that some people really forget. They
Definitely.
Leave that part out. And that is so important, guys, and not only for the protection of that child, but other children. Because trust and believe me, this wasn't their first time doing this. So you must call 911. Even if that person now lives in Georgia, oh, that was down south, who cares? Call, because that person will continue to victimize children. That's not they may. That's a fact. That is an absolute fact.
Definitely, and it's a lot of child molesters and predators out there who have gotten away with doing this for years because families want to keep it quiet, keep it in the family. Oh, well, we don't want to tell anybody because you're afraid of how you're going to look, or how the family
mm-hmm.
is going to look, or, you know, how they're going to look at your child or treat your child. So freaking what? The damage has already been done to your child. You need to let your child know and this person know that they can't get away with this unpunished.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be punished for their actions, and your child needs to get the appropriate help, counseling. Because, I mean, even though I've gotten counseling over the years, this thing has never stopped haunting me. I've learned how to deal with it better, and I've learned how to, you know, not keep it in and talk about it, but it haunts me like a bad dream. I even have dreams about it now that I'm grown. Now, when I was a little girl, I used to always have this dream about a man standing at the corner of my bed. It was almost like a dark shadow.
Mm-hmm.
And it kept me from not being able to sleep at night. Actually, you know, for a lot of years, it kept me from not being able to sleep because I figured, well, if I don't go to sleep, I could defend myself. But if he catches me in my sleep, you know, then I'm caught off guard.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this thing, it interrupts your life forever, really. You're never the same. I mean, yeah, it doesn't affect me as bad because I was a child and I really didn't know how to deal with those feelings. So I was really angry all the time. I would never smile. To be honest, I'm not going to just blame this one situation on me and my mother not having a good relationship. We didn't really have a good relationship to start off with. But this just, like, set it off.
Mm-hmm.
I no longer had respect for my mom because I felt like she didn't protect me like she should have. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I just didn't look at her the same because I'm like, why would you choose this type of guy? Why wouldn't you pay attention? What were you doing? You know, I don't know if she was working two jobs or what, but, you know, I was still her child. I was still her responsibility. And I blamed her, even though it wasn't her fault, but, you know, she was still the grown-up. She was still the parent. So she should have paid more attention to me or not just leave me in the hands of anybody.
Right. And you know, this is a tough situation that many parents are, you know, put in to have to, you know, not have stable child care and sometimes leaving their kids, you know, with people they may not trust, which is awful as a parent to have to do that. I'm sure to walk away from your children not knowing 100% that they're going to be safe is one of the toughest things a parent has to do. But that's why we're also encouraging you to give your kids some tools, some rules in your house where they can know that they're safe. And, you know, at the end of the day, you hate to, you know, alarm your child and say, oh, there's scary people out there. But the honest God truth is there are people out there that prey on kids. So you want to educate your kids in a way that is not alarming, which means you should do it at a fairly early age, you know, just going over the rules. Of course, we all go over the good touch, bad touch, and that's great, too. But also just letting them to know when they could possibly feel unsafe, what to do. I know my sister-in-law, I have three nieces, and she always tells the girls, no matter what house they go to, it doesn't matter what family member, you are never to leave the room. It's never to be one of you guys alone with any adult. She told them that years ago. So it doesn't matter now. It doesn't matter who's there. You just can't be in a room. Adult, family, cousin, it's just a rule. Not to alarm them, but that's the rule.
Definitely. And when your child becomes of age that is aware, because, I mean, it seems like they're more in tune about things younger than they were when I was young, you know. Once your child becomes aware of what sex is, you need to have that talk, especially if you're the type of parents that work outside of the home. You definitely need to, you know, let them know, give them things to watch out for, to let them know that they shouldn't be in certain places alone with grown-ups. Always stay with the group or in public. You know, let them know that it should never be any grown-up touching them in a private place or saying anything private or showing them anything, you know, private. Anything without, you know, more than one adult or more than one kid present. In my
right.
own home, I'm married, and before my husband moved, well, when me and my husband got married and we moved in together, I had a family meeting with my children, and I laid down the law. Even before we got married, I told him, look, you know, I have children in the house, and I don't want you having any private conversations with them, especially my daughter, when I'm not there. If you got something to say to my daughter, you need to let me know so I can be there, and then we can talk about it. And then, of
right.
course, I told my daughter he is to never come knocking at your door. My husband has never knocked on my daughter's door for nothing. Why you don't even allow a man to be on that side of the house? Why would he be knocking at your daughter's door, your children's door, unless you are there and you're present and you seeing what they are talking about? He has no right or no reason to be having no private conversations with your children. You have to make these preventative measures. I have came up
Absolutely.
With a list with things that I would do, and I thought that my mom should have done, you know, is to put a lock on your kids' doors, not the kind of door that you can pick with like a little stick, because you've got those certain doors that you can lock from the inside, and it has like a little hole on the side, and you can just stick something in it and open. An actual lock where you have a key where no one can pick at night when y'all are asleep. Because a man can get up
well,
and
I mean,
act like he have to use the bathroom. And
yeah,
then he can pick your
also,
children's
you can't
lock.
Lock your kid inside a room, so that could be like, well, if there's a fire, well, so that's not, may not be, maybe a way that your child can keep themselves safe. I mean, you could figure it out, but her suggestion is have your kids to be able to have safety and to lock themselves, I guess, if they need to.
Yeah, I'm saying to be able to lock themselves from the inside.
Okay.
They can lock their own door from the inside and, you know. Oh, and then my other things on the list is to, I already mentioned the locking the door at night, having the family talks before you allow a man to come in. Make sure you establish boundaries about them not ever being alone or having private conversations. Never allowing men to bathe your children or help them change their clothes, you know, anything like that. Now, if it's their father, of course, you know, you can do that at your own discretion. But a stranger who's not even your children, I wouldn't recommend that for anybody, to let a strange man, because you're dating or whatever, take your kids' bath or change their diapers or help them, you know, change their clothes. I mean, they should be old enough to change their own clothes, and if not, you, the parent, you should do it.
Right. And then having the early discussions about sex, and not like a 4-year-old should know about sex, of course not, but educating your children. And for families and cultures that are really, like, restrictive on that sex talk and it being so taboo, and, you know, are the religious people who feel like that's not, whatever, feel like it's not appropriate, those are also just impediments for people actually confessing sexual abuse, because families who are really closed about sexuality, a kid is also going to even have a double time coming forward. So, you know, educate your kids when they're appropriate about sex, so they'll know what it is. Like Charity said, she couldn't even put a name on it. So
definitely, it's always important to make your children feel comfortable about sex, because sex is a natural thing. I mean, it's natural. We all want to have it at a certain age, especially when puberty knocks in. But, you know, you need to let them know that it's an appropriate time, it's appropriate age with appropriate people. You know, it's not appropriate for a grown person to be having sex with a child, no matter what the laws say. The laws making it seem like now you can be 16 because that's supposed to be consensual. But, you know, we know at 16 a child isn't mature. Heck, some of them 21 and older, not even mature, but, you know. At least wait till you are of legal age. And if you're not legal enough to buy cigarettes and beer, then how are you illegal to have sex? I mean, I don't really understand the society and its laws sometimes, but you have to make your own, you have to use your own common sense, make your own rules in your own home accordingly to your own.
And I think another thing that I wanted for people to know is that recanting, taking back the disclosure, is not very uncommon. A lot of people, they disclose sexual abuse, and then the way that people react makes them want to take it back. So, you know, if the family is really starts to break down and people are moving out, or, you know, of course they're listening and paying attention, they may recant, but that does not mean that the sexual abuse did not happen. I think we all can say, and I know I'm not a parent, even though I have tons of, I feel like, advice to give, because I treat teenagers and children, so I get the other half of the dynamic. But I know how, I can only imagine how awful it feels for your child to be victimized and your need to want to protect them. But just know that it's not abnormal for a kid to take it back. But you need to be as supportive as you can, and report. That's what I have to say, report, report, report. Don't let these people continue to infest other families and give them the same pain that they've given to so many families. Just report. You have to report.
Also, I wanted to reiterate on the importance of counseling. I mean, even long term, not just when you're a child. I mean, I don't, to speak for people who have gone through this, it's something that sticks with you for the rest of your life. In my experience, it's almost like a bad dream that I can never shake. I could never shake. I don't think about it all the time like I used to, but it still haunts me. It randomly pops up in my head. Sometimes I even dream about it as if it just happened yesterday. So counseling is very vital in your healing, and just having somebody to talk to, especially depending on how long you have kept it a secret. You have to get it out. You have to come forward for your own state of mind, for your own spirit. I mean, it releases so much to be able to just tell somebody to get it off your chest, you know, somebody who won't judge you or try to make you feel nasty or try to make you feel like you did something to deserve it because of maybe the way you walk, or maybe you may have a switch when you walk, or you may be attractive. So, you know, people are trying to make it seem like you deserve this to be happening because of the way you look, you know. All kind of craziness. Yeah. I have encountered all kind of craziness. People have tried to make me feel like, well, you shouldn't have been walking like that. And that was the reason why it happened to me, or, you know, the way that I talked or the way that I dressed.
So, as always, this 30 minutes goes really fast. And what we want to do, we're going to, on The Truth Is, on our website, under Charity Barnes, we're going to put up some tips. We're going to put a couple links to resources that you could possibly access through your community. We always say for children, you know, start at your school, then church, and then when you're ready to make that step to go for outside counseling. If you have insurance, you can always call the numbers that are on the back of your card. Or you can actually just inbox us on our page if you really need some guidance on where to seek help from. So we will see you next Monday, same time.
Thanks for tuning in. Bye.